Well, hello, this is Kilo Alpha 9, Oscar Papa Lima Joe, and I am going to give you a tutorial today on the Kenwood TS-480 SAT transceiver. Now, the 480 SAT, there are two models actually, the SAT and the HX. The SAT is a 100-watt radio with a built-in auto antenna tuner and lots of features. The particular interest of this radio to the blind ham community is that if you install the voice guide and storage unit, which is an add-on module that plugs into the radio, you have to open the radio to put it in there, and the model is VGS1, as in Victor Golf Sierra 1. That's the model for the voice chip. With that chip installed, the radio becomes very accessible. There are numerous features to this radio which make it not only a good radio for anyone, but especially for a blind operator when the chip's installed. Now, I'm going to describe the radio to you, and then once we get past the initial description, we will turn the unit on and go through the various buttons and knobs. The radio is in two parts. There is a main unit which contains the major electronic components that make up the radio, the transceiver itself, and the filters and the digital signal processing components, etc. And then there is something called the control panel, which is a separate head, I guess you might call it. The two units are connected together by a cable. It's designed this way especially for those who use the radio in mobile operation, where the head is usually located close to the front of the car, and the radio itself may be in the back. In any case, I'm going to start by describing the connections on the main unit. That's the least used component. Once you set it up, you pretty well leave it alone, and most of your work will be done, of course, on the control panel. The radio is set up right now in front of me on a desk, and I have both parts facing as they will when you operate it. That is, the fronts are facing toward me. Beginning on the left side of the front panel of the main unit, the top row of jacks, there are two next to one another. The first one on the left side in the front is an RJ45 type jack, which looks like the kind of jack you use to plug in a LAN cable on a computer. It's sort of a square, looks like an oversized modular phone jack. That jack is where you plug the microphone, and you can tell it very readily. The microphone plug is the one that comes with it, that is a modular plug, RJ45. Immediately to the right of that, at the same level, is an RJ11 type jack, which is a standard modular size phone jack. And in this case, it has more than your standard number of conductors. I think it's 6 conductors. Now, that is where you plug the cable which connects the main unit to the control panel. And the control panel has a corresponding modular jack along the right side of the control panel. Going back to the main unit, if you go down below the two jacks which I just described, on the left below the microphone jack, there is an 1/8-inch stereo jack which is used for plugging in a key paddle. That is, the radio has a built-in electronic keyer, and if you wish, you can plug in a key paddle to this stereo jack. Now, immediately to the right of that is another eighth inch jack, which you can use to plug in a straight key. Moving beyond those jacks, which I've just described, there is a dust cover, if you will. It's a little plastic cover. You can slip your fingernail behind it to remove the cover. And when you take the cover off, it reveals three additional jacks going from left to right. The first of these jacks is an eighth inch jack where you can connect an external speaker. Do not connect headphones to it. The volume's too high. It's designed for a speaker. And when you do that, I'm not sure if it disables the speaker in the control panel. I believe it does. I've never hooked one up to it. The next jack over is a DIN type, and that's used for data connecting. I actually believe it's used when you connect to a computer and for data transmission and also for remote operation. The third jack is another DIN, and it's used for connecting an external power amplifier, if you're using a power amplifier. That is, so that's those three jacks. Beyond that, and I just put the cover back on, you might have heard the little click. That's the only things that are under the cover. And below, interestingly enough, below that cover, further down in the front, there are some holes. And up on the top, in various locations of this unit, there are some holes which are used for fan ventilation. Now, moving to the right, we're still on the front of the main unit. Moving to the right, you have an RS-232 connector. It's a 9-pin, a DB9, and that is used. It's a male jack. Normally, it means you have to use a gender changer in order to connect it to a cable, but that is used to connect the radio to a computer. The radio does have good computer control capabilities, both for local computer operation and also to be connected to a computer working over the internet if you want remote operation. That's the remaining part of what's on the front of this radio. Moving to the back now, at the left side, still with the radio facing forward, there's a multi-pin jack. See, it's actually got like six pin jack. It's used for connecting an auto tuner if you use an external auto tuner. Moving to the right, there's a fan, which is for cooling of the main unit. And then beyond the fan, you have two antenna connectors. These are short coaxial cable stubs. The first one that you come to is for antenna number one, and the next one is antenna two. Each of these little stubs has an SO239 connector, you know, that you can connect a PL259 coaxial cable to it. And there are little insulating sleeves that slide to cover and uncover these SO239 jacks. So that's a little bit of a different way of connecting the antenna. Now, the antenna, the two connectors, the wires from them are toward the top on the right end of the back. If you go just below those, there's a little terminal screw which is for grounding. And then below, on the bottom right corner of the back of the radio, is the connector plug and assembly for the power cable. The power cable plugs in. I think you can only get it in one way. Once you get it in, it goes in nice and easy, and it stays in firmly. In fact, so well that it's very difficult to remove. I have never successfully gotten that cable back off, and I don't work too hard at it because I don't want to damage it in any way. The good part about that is that the cable, once connected, is very firm and solid, and you don't have to worry about it inadvertently becoming unplugged. So that is that covers the main unit of the radio. Now we're going to move over to the control panel, which is where you'll spend most of your operating time. And the control panel, as I said, is connected back to the main unit using a cable. To show you how this radio works, I am actually going to demonstrate each of the buttons and knobs as we go through it. With the control panel facing you, what I'm going to call the top or the upper portion of the front face of the control panel, the majority of that is covered by a digital display screen, and that's what I refer to as the top, the upper. And as you go down from there, you know, you're moving down the front of the radio. The along the left and right, beyond the edges of the display screen, you also have knobs and buttons. And then below the display screen are the majority of the buttons for the keypad. And then toward the right, you have the larger rotating knob, which is the VFO main tuning knob. So that gives you a basic description of what it looks like. And then if you go along the right side of the control panel, as I mentioned earlier, you have the jack, which is used to connect the cable that runs from the control panel back to the main radio unit. And then below that jack on the right side, there is an 1/8-inch stereo phone headphone jack. And when you plug that in, it does disable the speaker. The speaker for the radio, incidentally, is in the back of the control panel, not in the main unit. So the speaker is on the control panel on the back. On the left side of the back, you can feel several slots and holes which allow the sound to come out. It does a really good job of producing sound. Now, to begin with, the buttons on the left side, along the left side of the control panel face, to the left of the display screen, along that left edge, you have several buttons, 1, 2, 3, 4 buttons, and then a knob set. The top button is a smaller round button. That is the power button. A lot of the buttons on this radio serve two functions. When you short press them, which is a press and release, I'll call it a short press from now on, they usually serve one function. When you long press, which is you press for 1 second at least and then you release, it'll generally perform a second function. And in many cases, these functions are related, not always. And not all buttons have a long and short press, but the majority of them do. Now the power button, the small round button, is you long press it and then the radio will turn on. And I'm going to do that now so you'll hear it. And from now on, we will have the radio on. And since I have the voice guide installed, you will hear the speech, what it sounds like when I turn it on.
VFOA 14.27563.
Okay, now I've got the volume turned all the way down. The voice guide and storage unit has a separate volume control, which is actually controlled by the menu system. I've turned the volume up just a little bit so you can hear the radio. And we are on the 20-meter band. We're in sideband mode, which you don't know right now, but... So the first little round button was the power button. The next button down is called the PF key button. And PF key is program function key. It's a programmable button. What the key does depends on how you set it in the menu system. By default, it's set to speak. The number one channel of the speech processor, of the speech chip, not processor. And you'll hear the same thing that you just heard when I turned it on. I'm going to press it now. This is the second button.
VFOA 14.27505.
Okay. That button is just a short press, and it will, as it's set right now, it will speak the first channel of the speech chip. Now, there's a second channel, which when you switch to it, it only speaks the S-meter reading of the radio. And I'll show you that when we get to the menu setting. The third button down is a sensitivity type button. When you short press it, it has three positions, actually. Right now, it's set so that the preamp is turned on. There is a preamplifier in this radio to increase the RF sensitivity. If you press it once, this is the third button, you'll see that the sound dropped off a little bit and the preamp is turned off. So it's running now standard. If I press it a second time, and you'll hear two beeps when I do this, it's now attenuated. There's an attenuation factor. I think it's either 10 or 20 dB. I can't remember which. And then if you press it again, you'll hear a low tone and the preamp will be back on, which is the default. So when the low tone sounds, in this case, the preamp is on. When you press it another time, one tone indicates that you're running with the preamp turned off at standard amplification. And then when you run it, you press it a second time, you'll hear two beeps, and you're running with the attenuator on. Press it again, and it comes back around the low tone, and the preamp is turned back on. Now, this button does have a function if you press it long. The long press of this button switches between antenna 1 and 2. I've got an antenna connected to antenna 1. I do not have one on antenna number 2. I'm going to press it. You'll hear two beeps. I'm going to long press it. You'll hear two beeps, and you'll hear that the signal will drop way off. And that's because I do not have an antenna connected. It's now set to antenna number 2 connector. I'll long press it again. It's one beep, and you're back to the first antenna connection. That's handy if you're using a separate antenna for 6 meters. I may not have told you. This radio is an HF and 6 meter transceiver. It covers 160 through 6 meters, all bands including the 60-meter new band. And it's a general coverage receiver, covers, I think, from 30 kilohertz all the way out to 59.9 megahertz. I believe that's correct. Okay, moving down to the fourth button, which is the last actual button along this left side of the control panel. That is an antenna tuner. And when you short press it, it turns the tuner on and off. When you long press it, it causes the radio to tune. There's also a setting in the menu I'll tell you about later, which allows you to enable or disable the auto tuner to be in line during receive. If you turn that off, the antenna tuner is not in line during receive, and then it comes in line when you transmit. If I'm going to use the auto tuner, which I am right now, I use it while I'm in receive also, because sometimes that really helps to cut down on reception noise because it's tuned better. Now I'm going to press this to toggle it, short press the antenna tuner button. That low beep tells you that it's out of the circuit. Now it's in. And now if I long press it, when you long press it, it tunes, and if it does tune successfully, you'll either hear a T or an A in Morse code. If it doesn't, you will hear an SWR in Morse code. And I may, in my setup, I'm using something called an auto tuner extender by MFJ, MFJ product 914, to extend the range of my tuner, because I've got a really kind of squirrely antenna that's connected right now. It's not a very good one for tuning. I'm going to tune it for you, and you'll hear what it does. And it just tuned. Now, I'm going to intentionally turn my impedance match up a little bit, and I think I'll force it not to tune. And if it doesn't, you're going to hear an SWR. Okay, no, it actually tuned, and you heard it actually run a little longer. Okay, so now you've heard it do a T, and you've heard it do an A, and you could probably hear the relays move a little bit. They're pretty quiet. I'm going to try it now and see if I get an SWR out of it. Nope, still tuned. All right, now I'll probably get an SWR out of it. There you go, SWR. That's not where you want it set. If you have a setup where the auto tuner cannot tune, that's what you'll hear. I'm going to tune it back the way it belongs. Okay, there you go. It tuned. And you can hear maybe the relays in the background. And it tuned properly, and you got a T at the end of that. Now, below the four buttons on the left, you have a knob set. I'll call it a knob set. And what you have is a standard knob with a ring. So it's a longer knob, and then there's a ring at the base. The extended knob is the volume control, which I just turned up and down a little bit. The ring is a squelch. I'll show you that. I'll turn it to the right, clockwise. And ultimately it squelches out. And then back to the left, and it comes back on. Now the squelch is most useful, of course, in FM operation. Now, so that completes the left edge, if you will, of the control panel. And moving to the right, which is actually now below the display screen, you get to the main control panel keypad, and it looks very much like a telephone keypad. There are four rows of three. And the top, the row that's closest to the display screen is the 1, 2, 3 row, then 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, asterisk, 0, pound. And then to the right you have some more buttons. These buttons all actually have multiple functions. And the thing I will tell you to start with is that this radio can be set the frequency by keypad, direct keypad entry. And that's actually done with an alternate key. When you press these keys directly, they don't enter the frequency. They actually have other functions. You have to press the enter key, which is actually the position of the pound key, and then you can enter frequency. But we'll get to that. We're going to go in order, starting with the number one key. The number 1, 2, and 3 keys are associated with the voice guide and storage unit. And they are used for storing and replaying messages, either on the CW side or in phone. So if you're in CW mode and you use these number 1, 2, and 3 message keys, you can store CW messages. And when you're in phone mode, you can store voice messages. And the way you do that, I'm not going to really demonstrate that part, but I'll tell you that what you do is you press and hold one of those buttons for a long press, and then when you hear a beep, you enter your message. Either if you're in CW mode, you use your keyer paddle, and you send your CW. Then you press the asterisk key, which is the last row on the left. It's actually to right next to the volume and squelch controls. That is what you use to terminate the message. If you want to play a message back, all you do is you short press one of those buttons, and if there's a message in there, it will play it back. That's what the number 1, 2, and 3 keys are for. Okay, so now what we will do is we will complete the main keypad, and then we will break and start side two here. But let's go with the next keys, key number 4. We've just said that keys 1, 2, and 3 on the numeric keypad are used for messages. Key number 4 is used for when you short press it, you can control the transmit power. And it is adjustable from 5 watts on up to 100 watts. By default, the adjustment is in 5 watt increments. There's a menu that you can switch so that it can be adjusted in 1 watt increments. I'm going to press keypad 4.
TX power 1, 5.
Okay, now there is a multi-control, which I haven't told you about yet. And it is a knob. There's another knob set looking much exactly like the other one on the right end of the control panel. And the knob, there's a knob and a ring on that one as well. And the knob on that one is called the multi-control. And it has, it's a clickable type control with detents that will make adjustments. You can turn left or right. If you go clockwise, I'm in the power adjustment mode now, so I'm going to turn that multi-control right, and you'll hear it.
2-0-2-5-3-0.
Now I'm going to go back left.
2-5-2-1-5.
Okay, and now I will press keypad 4 again. Short press. That gets me out of that adjustment. Now, if you're not sure where you are, if you are making adjustments, you can press the program function key if you've got it set to speak. The second key down on the left, in other words, here we go. I'm going to press that for you.
VFOA 14.275.25.
Okay, so we know we're in VFO mode, and we're on VFOA. This radio does have two VFOs, A and B. Now, I'll show you. I will go back into the transmit power adjustment. I'll press short press keypad 4.
TX power, 1-5.
Now, while I'm in this mode, if I press the speech button, watch what it does.
TX power, 1-5.
So it tells me, basically it's letting me know that I'm still in that mode. Now I'm going to short press keypad 4 again and turn it off. Now keypad 4 also has an alternate function if you long press it, and it's the TX monitor, which allows you to listen to your transmit signal when you speak into the microphone. And now I'm going to press that for you. Long press keypad 4.
TX monitor. Off.
And in a similar fashion, if you were to turn the multi-control to the clockwise,
1, 2, 3,
it's turning that on.
Off.
Now I turned it quickly back left. And when
off.
You get it all the way as far as it can be adjusted, it gives you that low tone. It lets you know you're at its limit. Now I'm going to long press keypad 4 again. And that's done. Moving on to keypad 5 now. Keypad 5 actually works together with keypad number 9. And I will go through both of those together because of the fact that they work together. When you short press keypad number 5, you can adjust either the processor output for the speech processor or the microphone gain, and what determines which one you're controlling is the press position of keypad number 9. Keypad number 9, when you short press it, toggles the speech processor on or off. I'll do that for you just so you hear it. This is keypad 9, short press. Now, the high tone says speech processor is on. Short tone, speech processor is off. I'm going to go back on. If I short press keypad number 5, you'll notice what it tells you, and you'll be able to tell that the speech processor is on.
Processor out, 8-5.
And once again, you could, at that point, use the multi-control to adjust that speech processor out. That controls the amount of compression on the your speech. Now, if you turn the speech processor off by short pressing keypad 9, when you short press keypad 5 now,
mic gain 8-5.
Now you have the gain on the microphone. And so that will tell you, that lets you know that you're adjusting the mic gain, and it also lets you know that you've got your speech processor turned off. Now I'm going to turn it back on by short pressing keypad number 9. And keypad number 9, if you long press it, controls the input level feeding the processor.
Processor in 8.5.
And that is, those two, as I said, work together. And the processor input, it's the level of your voice level that feeds the input to the processor. That's long press keypad 9. Now, keypad 9, once again, short press, processor is turned off. It's turned on now, and I'll verify that by short pressing keypad 5.
Processor out, 8.5.
All right. Now it's, and I just pressed the keypad short again. The standard way that you do this is you short press, make your adjustment, short press again, or long press, make your adjustment, long press again. Except in the cases where you have multiple short presses, where you're short pressing once to get to one function, another time for another, like we did with the attenuator and preamp function. We'll see that again later. Sometimes you have more than one. In other words, if it's a three-position press, then, you know, you have to deal with it that way. Sounds a little confusing, sorry. You'll get used to it as you play with it. Now, we're not quite done with keypad 5 yet because we didn't talk about its long press. If you long press keypad 5, you get to the RF gain.
RF gain, 100.
I'll let you hear a little. I'm going to turn the volume up just a little bit. Now I'm going to back off the RF gain by adjusting counterclockwise on the multi-control.
8270.
You can hear now that the background noise is almost gone. I'm going to turn it back up.
8810010.
Okay, so now I've turned it all the way back up. That's the RF gain. So you can adjust the RF gain of the radio overall by using long press keypad 5. And as I said, in many cases, you don't really have to do that because you can use the key, the third key down on the left side of the control panel, which turns the preamp on and off and also the attenuator. Those three settings are often quite enough to give you the range that you need, you know, for strong local signals or weak signals to make proper adjustments. Okay, so now we've gone through all the way through keypad 5, and we've covered keypad 9 also because 5 and 9 function together. In a similar way now, keypads 6 and 8, those two buttons function together. Keypad 6, to show you the first part of keypad 6, I'm going to switch to 30 meters.
10.11714.
I am in CW mode now because I'm in 30 meters. And you'll learn about the mode keys in the next section. Keypad 6, if I short press it.
Keying speed, 1.5.
Keying speed, 15 words per minute. Now I'm going to turn counterclockwise one click of the multi-control.
1.4, 1.3.
And I did it again.
1.5, 1.7, 1.5.
Okay, I'm back to 15 words a minute keying speed. Now, if I long press keypad 6, it allows me to set the break-in delay or the vox delay. depending if I'm in CW mode like I am now, it'll be the break-in delay.
Break-in delay, off.
Okay, now, as I said, these work together. Keypad number 8 turns break-in or vox, as you'll see, on and off. If you turn break-in off, on, off, high tone on, low tone off, that's keypad 8. If you turn it off, then the radio doesn't transmit. You can key and you'll hear the side tone. I'm just keyed. I've got a key paddle connected. If you turn it on, then you can transmit, and I'm going to do it just quickly, and so you can hear, you may be able to hear the relays, which you know you're transmitting. Okay. Now, if you long press keypad 8,
vox gain 5.
That sets vox gain, which really doesn't, I'm not sure if it has any effect in CW mode. I don't think it does.
1, 4, 7, 5, 2, 5.
I switch back because now we are in back to sideband mode. And I want you to hear the difference. Keypad 8, as I said, controls the on and off toggle for the vox and for the break-in keying. They are separate. Because you could, like I do, I don't have my vox turned on because I don't use vox. But I do use break-in CW. So you can have those set separately. You can leave your vox turned off when you're in phone mode. And when you're in CW mode, that same button has a separate setting. So it remembers both instances. Now, keypad 6, remember, short press was keying speed, which doesn't have an effect.
Keying speed, 1, 5.
Doesn't have an effect when you're in sideband. But if you notice, when we long pressed before, it said break-in delay. Well, now it's going to say vox delay.
Vox delay, 5, 0.
That was keypad 6 long pressed. So as you can tell, the functions vary depending upon what mode you're in. And they're logical. You just kind of have to get used to them. So we've covered now keypad 6 and 8 because they work in tandem. And now let's move back to keypad number 7. Which would be, of course, the third row, left side of those, that little set of the keypad. Keypad 7, when you long press it, it sets the noise blanker level.
Noise blanker level, 7.
When you short press it, it turns the noise blanker on and off. High is on, low is off. I have it on. I don't have a lot of noise right now, so it's not making any noticeable sound difference. Now, this keypad 7 has a different function when you're in FM mode. This radio, because it has two VFOs, can be used to run FM repeater operation or simplex. And specifically, you can do that you know on the 10 or 6 meter bands. I'm going to go out to the 10 meter band to the FM portion here.
2, 8, 2, 9, 1, 1, 0, 0, 0.
Okay, we're now in FM mode. If I press keypad 7, short pressing keypad 7 in FM mode, it has three settings. One beep, two beeps, and a low beep. Low beep says tone is turned off. Keypad 7 in FM controls your subtone. Now, one beep is for transmit tone. And once you press one beep, you got a high beep, then you can long press and you can adjust what tone frequency you use to transmit.
Tone frequency 88.5.
And then I just long pressed it again. Now if I short press it again, when I get two beeps, you'll notice that the radio squelched out. And you'll find out here why in a minute. When you long press it, when you're set to this setting.
CTCSS frequency 88.5.
CTCSS frequency, so that's the squelch control tone, receive tone. And that's set to 88.5 in this case, and you can use your multi-control, as always, to change that. Long press it again. Now, if you press that, short press it again, you'll turn off tone completely. And that's the low tone. So, one high tone turns on transmit tone. Two high tones turns on receive squelch control tone. Press it again, and it's turned off. Now let me go back to sideband. I'll go to back to 20 meters.
2, 1, 1, 4, 2, 7, 5, 2, 5.
So now we've covered all of the primary keys. Now let's go to the last row of our keypad, of the standard portion of the keypad, and that's the left of the left button, which is next to the volume and squelch controls, is the star key, or the asterisk, and that's actually a clear key. The clear key is used actually as a cancel button in when you're entering certain things and you want to cancel out without actually saving a change, you press that button. It's also used for locking out channels, I believe, when you're scanning memories, and I have not used it that way, so I don't have any experience to discuss that one. The next one is the zero button. That's right in the middle of the bottom row, of course, and that one controls the AGC. That's not a digital one, it's an AGC, automatic gain control. If you long press it, it turns it on and off. And boy, you can hear it get louder when I turn it off. I'm going to turn it back on. Long press it. If you short press it, there are two AGC, slow and fast. That's fast. That's slow. I usually leave it on the first one. I'm not really sure the advantages of one or another. Now, to the right of the zero button, we finally get to the enter button, which we call the pound key. It's in the same position as the pound key of a phone pad. Now, the enter button, when you press it, it allows frequency, direct keypad frequency entry, which we're going to do right now. The way it works is you press the enter key, it puts you into frequency entry. Then you dial in your frequency on the keypad and you press the enter again in order to move to that frequency. You note that, please, that the first two digits are considered the digits to the left of the decimal point in megahertz. So when you're putting in a megahertz value of like 10 and above, you put in 10 and then it'll say point and then whatever value you want. If you're going to put in less than 10 megahertz, you have to put a zero in front of your entry. If you're going to put in less than 1 megahertz, you put 2 zeros. I'm going to go to 7.155, let's say. I'll go there just to show you going to the 40 meter band. I'm going to hit enter.
Enter. 0.7155.
Okay, so now I'm on 40 meters. Now I'm going to do it again.
Enter. 1.426.
Now I'm going to hit enter.
1.426000.
Now I'm going to show you something else. I'm going to hit enter.
Enter. 1.45. VSO A 1.426000. Enter. 1.426000.
Okay, now I'll tell you what I just did. I entered a frequency, and then I pressed the clear button. I'll do that again for you. I'll
enter.
I'm going to go
1.3.
And I don't want to go there, right? So I'm going to press it again. I press the clear button. Now I'll press enter again.
Enter. 1.415.
I cleared that again.
Enter. 1.426000.
Okay. So that shows you how to enter a frequency using direct keypad entry. And it also showed you that if you press you make a mistake while you're entering, you can press the clear key, and in fact, it cancels that out. And now before we move on to the remainder of the keys on this keypad, we are going to take a break, and then we will come back and finish out the keypad.